Broadwater Press. It's the 4th of November. And off we go. So, Hazel, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you worked there for 2 years, I think. Where were the offices when you were?
I think it's called Stonehills, the road that runs down. Oh, Lord. If you come out of Hardsgate and turn right, I think that's Stonehills, isn't it? It runs down to the cherry tree.
Yes.
Well, it was there next door, very close to Finefair.
Right.
I think possibly where the carpet shop is now.
That's about, because they changed the layout there, didn't they, a little bit when the buildings came down. And when was that?
I actually looked it up. I started there on the 12th of August 1957 and left on the 5th of September 1959.
And what were you doing while you were there?
That was the point. I left university in 1957 with an arts degree, English literature, and already married. And my husband, who'd graduated earlier, had already started work here at British Rubber Producers. So I had to come and live here. And it was, to my mind, the most horribly scientific, dedicated town. It had ICI, Roche Products, Murphy Radio, Smith, Klein & French, and others. And as an arts graduate and a married woman, I could not get a job. And then, to my great delight, I fell on my feet, because Broadwater Press was doing the Globe edition of Shakespeare and the Arden edition of Pope, which is wonderful. Unless I got them the wrong way around. Goodness, I should have checked. And they wanted a skilled proofreader in literature. The proof for you, the unions didn't even like the authors reading these. They thought it all ought to be done in-house. So I got this wonderful job to go and be proofread this literary matter. But when I got there, I couldn't do it. It had a very strong union. The printers' union is called a chapel. And you were only allowed to join the chapel if you'd served an apprenticeship, which is 5 years, and if you were a man. And I didn't qualify on either criterion. So they wouldn't let me read the proofs, which I was devastated. It was going to be such a wonderful job. But I'd got the job by then. I was employed and being newly married, I needed the money anyway, so I stayed. And the works manager, who was William Frank Reynolds, decided he wanted a personal assistant. I think he felt that it would be very good for his status to have a graduate assistant. So I stayed as his assistant. And he really didn't need one. I did about 2 hours' work a day. I occasionally typed a letter, and I was a progress chaser, which meant I went round the works with a notepad, checking that everything was being done on time. But it only took 2 hours a day. And I spent the rest of the time sitting in my office reading. I had a desk in his office, and he's hardly ever in it. And I read Anna Karenina and quite a bit of Dickens. And I got, there was a Teach Yourself series, and I tried to teach myself German. I taught myself a bit of German. And I also tried to teach myself the piano from a book sitting in that office. I made the awful discovery after about half an hour reading this that you did different things with each hand. And I think at that point I gave up. Piano playing was too complicated, especially without a piano. But it was very, very boring. I did occasionally sort of sneak into the proofreading place and do what was called copy holding. I used to hate actual proofreading. Well, later on my eyes got worse, because in those days, when printing was lettered, no computers, absolutely no computers at all. So all your proofs were great long galley proofs on long streams. And what you had to do was literally read the original, sort of say five words or one line, and then see that it absolutely corresponded. So you were flickering back and forth. It was this awful eye strain. Mm. And an alternative way to do it, which was more labour, was to get more labour overall, not for yourself, was to get somebody to read it to you, which is called copy holding. So I did used to go quite often, be called into the proofreader's office and read aloud to them, which didn't require a 5-year apprenticeship. And but oh dear, I'm so bored. And then there was, and of course I have loathed unions ever since, I'm with sure. a deep loathing. And while I was there in my second year there, they had, I'm not sure if it was a strike or a go slow. I think it must have been a go slow because we were still going in and a bit of work was being done. The thing was that they already had a woman in the proofreading department. During the war, which war must it have been? Yes, the Second World War, when all the men went off to fight, you know, all trades had to get women in. So they had engaged a woman in the proofreading department, thinking she'd marry and leave. And she hadn't. She was still there. And she was head of the proofreading department. She was very good. But they'd already got one woman, and they weren't going to have another. But Magda, of course, like me, her name was Magda Newland-Smith, though I don't know if that's confidential, if you're allowed. So when they had this strike, Magda couldn't come in, because she had to be with the union. But there was some work still going on. I can't quite remember how, whether they had some non-union members. But anyway, I used to be sent out in the lunch hour to Fine Fair, which was just very close by, with an envelope of proofs in my shopping bag. And I would stroll around Fine Fair, and Magda would stroll around Fine Fair. And, well, how are you, Magda? And off we'd go. And, you know, next day it would be the other way around. Oh, hello, Hazel. yeah.
Oh,